Welcome to So You Want to Move to the Country and Raise Goats. This is a podcast about change. Change is all around us, and sometimes we're ready for it, and sometimes we're not. When it overwhelms us, well, we just want to move to the country and raise goats. This podcast features stories from people who have gone through change. We hope that their insights will help you better understand and deal with the changes in your life. I'm Peggy Koenig, and along with my co-host, Catherine Greiba, we chat with insightful people with interesting change stories. We hope you enjoy our podcast.
Ryan Talland is the owner and CEO of William Joseph Communications, and he's a guest on our podcast. For 2 years during the pandemic, like many of us, Ryan stayed at home, gained a few extra pounds, lived in stretchy clothes, didn't have to dress up. But when he visited his doctor, it was reported that he had some preeminent health conditions. And his first thought was, is this the life I want to live? Ryan was inspired by a friend who had significant weight loss. And so Ryan went into a self-described fat camp for himself for 90 days. He set a time limit goal, not a weight goal, and it worked. Ryan talks about how he had to get off social media to free up the time he needed to spend on himself. He's focused on himself and it's changed his life, how he pursues himself and how others perceive him. He's now registered for a half marathon and he has a healthy lifestyle despite his very busy business and the travel that he has with his business. For someone in the brand industry, Ryan is now the brand he wants for himself. Today, we're joined by Ryan Talland for our podcast. And Ryan is the owner and CEO and, in fact, founder of WJ Communications, William Joseph Communications. And he has offices across Western Canada, in fact, across Canada. And Ryan has gone through some significant change recently in his life. And we're delighted to have you on board, Ryan. Welcome.
Thank you for having me today.
So, Ryan, let's start with one of the more obvious changes that you've made in your personal life. And I know that, you know, just even not having seen you throughout COVID, and when I saw you, it was a remarkable change in your physical presence. So what's happened?
What's happened? Well, I think like we talk about a lot of people during COVID, it was a time that we got to stay home. That's unprecedented for me because I'm always in the air and always traveling. So this was 2 years where I got to stay at home. And like a lot of people, I think I started to get a little complacent. I think a few extra pounds came on and I didn't have to really dress up here or there. And I was living the life. And then this last summer, I had a friend that went through weight loss surgery and she lost over 100 pounds. And it's remarkable to see the transformation she went through. And we've been really excited to be a part of her journey. And it was very inspiring. And then like with COVID during the summer, I started to pick up trying to do new things. So I went out for a walk and with my partner. And funny enough, after 8 kilometers, I ended up on crutches for 2 days. Ironically, I probably needed a wheelchair because both legs were broken. I felt like after 8 kilometers, I couldn't even walk. So yeah, that took me out of commission for a few days. Then I went to my doctor and she says, you know, Ryan, where you're sitting with your health, you're probably sliding into diabetes soon. You got to watch this. So there's a myriad of factors that start to really kind of hit onto me. And you know, I started to think like, is this the life that I wanted to live? And, you know, I don't know about you, but like I've always kind of had a few extra pounds and I've always wanted to lose a few extra pounds and I've never been able to do that. So, you know, I kind of just came up with a little 10-step program for myself. And I told everybody I'm signing myself up into fat camp. Just leave me here for 90 days and don't come get me. Even if I beg you to take me out for donuts, just leave me here. So I stayed at home and I really went on a very strict diet. I used a company called NutriMeals and they're a meal food service delivery type of company so that I would know exactly my calories for dinner and for lunch. I could handle breakfast. I couldn't screw that up too bad. And then I really started to find some delicious snacks. And you know what, my friend that went on her weight loss journey, she told me, Ryan, it's all diet. Exercise is great, but it's what you eat. So I did that. I started to do my little walks, and I went on my calorie deficit diet. And in a little over 3 months, I lost 50 pounds. And I wasn't sure where I was going on this. I didn't have really a number in mind. I had more of a lifestyle change. And the things that were really important for me were I had to get off social media. Ironically, I'm a marketing guy, but I was like, I've spent time just flipping through TikTok and reading useless stuff. But then I would say, I don't have time for a walk. So I really changed my social media habits. I freed up time to do the things that were more important. I got control and discipline over diet and exercise. I didn't go crazy. Everyone's like, oh, did you get on Peloton? And are you on this program? No, I just really used my notes in my phone and tracked some little stuff. And that's what I did.
So Ryan, where did that strength of commitment come from? Was it primarily a health-based decision, or was there, which I'm sure there was a lot to the health-based issues, but that kind of a commitment, especially on a really restrictive diet, where did that come from?
That's just me. So if you put a challenge in front of me, I'll conquer it. I have like willpower of steel when it comes to something I actually care about. I just had to convince myself that I cared about this to actually make the commitment to actually do it. So once I made my mind up, nobody could sway me. I remember about a month in, we had my friend's birthday party and the most beautiful cake showed up. Now you have to imagine, I haven't had sugar in like 40 days. And this beautiful cake showed up. And like, I really, everything in my mind just wanted to use my hands and eat this cake because it looks so amazing. And I passed it by. And my friends were like, one piece won't hurt you. And I said, yeah, but it's kind of like Pandora's box. And I'm scared that's the key. And so I was like, nope, I told you all, just leave me in fat camp for 90 days and I'll be fine. And yeah, I did it.
So it sounds like you needed that 90 days to really develop new habits, break some old habits, and get into this rinse and repeat every day so that you weren't falling back into old habits. Is that what you found?
100%. Because you know what I was? I was disciplined Monday through Friday. And then I was a weekday warrior. And then I was like a weekend partier. So then, you know, I was really good Monday through Friday and I ate my veggies and stuff. And I was so disciplined. But the weekend I'd go out with my friends and I'd have some drinks. And then, oh, well, you know, Friday night slides into Saturday McDonald's. And then that slides into Sunday brunch out. And then I would reset myself and I'd be back to the same kind of weight I always was. And I still see this in a lot of people is that they'll go through a little period of discipline and then a little period of indulgence. And then it resets their goals right back to where they were. I saw the pattern. And so I was like, I know I have to break it. And, you know, it's funny because I was so disciplined. Then people started to be the cynics, like, oh, you're going to crash and burn as soon as you come out of this because you were so disciplined. You're just going to swing the other way, which didn't happen.
So Ryan, how did your image about yourself change over those 90 days? I mean, you get up in the morning, maybe every week, and you look in the mirror and you can obviously see changes. Did it really change how you perceived yourself?
It's a great question. You know, like I never really gave it any thought because I wasn't sure if it was going to work because I've tried this 102 times before. So why would the 103rd time work? So I didn't really give it any thought. And then when it started to really, like the weight started to drop off and then I would go and try on clothes. And the problem started with my clothes were just too tight and I had nothing to wear. And then my clothes all became too loose and I had nothing to wear. So I was really like, I didn't solve my problem. I've just changed the problem. I didn't solve it. But I didn't really notice it until people started to comment to me. They'd be like, oh, Ryan, that looks really baggy. Why are you wearing that? Or is there something different about you? So then I started to become kind of more aware of what was going on. So I was a little bit more oblivious to the changes. And then when people started to notice it, then it started to bring it more to my attention. So I think that was neat. And then I think, you know, it's funny because like, I think it's so exciting. Like I lost all this weight and people are like, oh, you seem like you have all this energy. well, I didn't think I didn't have energy before. I didn't not feel well. I felt great before. It just truly was one of those things that I thought, well, I probably should do this. I want to see if I can do this. It's just interesting how people react to you after the fact. And, you know, I share this story a lot with my friends, is people will come up to me now and they'll say like, oh, Ryan, you look really good now.
What does that mean, right?
Yeah, it's a stinger, because what it does is it starts making you really question, then what did you think of me before? And I don't think people mean it that way at all. I think honestly, it's just a shock when they meet you and they're like, Ryan, you look so great now. But it does shake yourself. It shakes your self-image to go, well, then do I have to be this size to be perceived like better looking than before? Was I not good looking before? You know, so it's just an interesting dynamic.
How about professionally, you know, being the owner of your company, has it changed how clients or, you know, kind of business people interact with you? Maybe it's not been for the better having lost weight. I don't know. Is it different when you were heavier than it is now?
I don't know if I've seen any differences. I think I wanted to fit my brand. I think we're a very edgy, we're a very contemporary, sophisticated type of company. And I started to feel like the dowdy owner that owned this sophisticated company. And I didn't feel I fit my brand. So, you know, I think for me, it was more trying to get myself into an alignment. And, you know, the one thing that I noticed was people took COVID one of two ways. They either championed it and did things better, or it maybe was pretty hard on them and they didn't fare as well as others. And I really felt like in the middle of COVID, I was going to come back and they were going to say, oh, look at him. He gained 20 pounds during COVID and he looks blah, blah, blah. And that's just not me. That's just not who I am as a person. So I really thought, well, since we're in lockdown number 8 or whatever it is, I'm going to take this last lockdown and really champion this and really pull it back.
So where are you at now? Are you still watching calories? Where are you at? Are you still losing weight?
So I'm still losing a very little bit of weight. For the first time in my life, my doctor told me, don't lose any more. I've never heard that in all of my years, but it's more now working with changing body composition, changing fat to muscle. So it's not about a number, it's about how your body's composed. And so really focusing more on fitness. I've now signed up for a half marathon for this spring versus a smaller little 10K last year. So that's gone up in goal setting. Yeah, it's crazy.
Ryan, with everything opening up now, you'll be traveling more, you know, you won't have the luxury, I guess, if you consider it that, of staying at home for 90 days and really watching everything. So how are you going to manage some of those challenges of travel? It's really hard to eat healthy and travel.
You know what? Like there's safety in fat camp. There is safety and security because everything is like planned. My meals are planned and it was safe. And when I had to go out for my first dinner, I was nervous because I was like, don't screw it up. Because my thought was, is if I eat bad at the restaurant one day, I'll put back on all my weight. It's a kind of weird feeling, but I had that mentality. But I try to take the best practices with me. Like I pack myself a little lunch now in my suitcase. Like you'd laugh if you saw it. I've got my Built Bars and my protein shakes and I've got my cherries in my suitcase with me. Not like the cities that we operate in don't have fresh fruit. But I just plan it out and I go and I think, okay, I'm going to have lunch there and this is what I'm going to have. And I try to keep it sensible, right? So with our new Saskatoon office having OEB on the main floor, I'm a little concerned about my own self here, but you know what? I'm sure I'll be fine.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, all of the things you talked about planning, really exercise is a part of it, but food intake is huge. Not going crazy, making small changes, sticking with it, creating habits. We've all heard these and it sounds like you've really incorporated all of them into the changes that you've made.
Do you know what I think is fascinating though? Like truly diet is so important. And I never realized how much I was eating before because I'm a nibbler. I just eat a cookie here and a cookie there. And I eat a little bit of banana bread here and I'll have a little bit of lunch. I never had a big lunch. I never had a big dinner. I just thought I ate a little bit, but I ate a little bit a lot. And it does add up. And then you have some drinks with this client, you have dinner with that client and you go to that gala and you have that and that. And it just adds up, right? And I think when you start going back and thinking like, well, so I went down to approximately 1500 calories a day for the 90 days. that's not a lot of food. I looked at it and I was like, can I live off of this? And, you know, boom, here you are. So I think the other thing is to be mindful. I was not mindful what I was putting in my mouth. I just ate what was delicious.
You use a plan.
Nutrimeal, yeah.
Nutrimeal. So, and they prepare everything for you. So, you know exactly what you're going to eat. Are you still using that, or are you transitioning into incorporating other ways of eating?
No, I'm like, I love their food system. It's so easy. And for a busy person, it's wonderful. Like I don't even have to think about it. It's just, you know, we order them for lunch and dinner. We have our breakfasts all lined up and our snacks, and it's just, it's off my plate. Being so busy, you don't have time sometimes to think. And honestly, the people that do make home prepared meals that count the calories, good on you. Like, that's a magic act in itself. Like, I couldn't figure that out. Mine comes with little numbers on it and I'm good to go. So it's more of a convenience thing for me, as well as quality of food. So yeah, it worked out. And, you know, going back to your comment, Catherine, about, you know, it's a whole bunch of little things that have to work together. It was never about losing weight. It was about living a better life. And this wasn't the life that I saw myself living. And I kind of felt like this summer, I looked in the mirror and I was like, look at this little round old guy. And I kind of thought, my youth is gone. It was gone. It's just, I felt like I was sliding into this old age that was here upon me. And then all of a sudden I was like, can I get it back? Can I unwind some years here? And, you know, Peggy, like, we were kind of laughing a little bit earlier about when you called me a kid. Like, I didn't feel that way. But I can honestly say over the last 6-7 months, I feel 20 years younger.
So you really think of yourself as different
now?
Yes, now than you did before. Like, you feel younger.
I feel younger. Hence the blonde hair, Catherine. This is the midlife crisis part now. Maybe this is what this is.
No, looks great. Looks great.
Well, it's a good midlife crisis to have, really.
Absolutely. And so has this changed? Are there any other areas of your life that you're contemplating changing? And has this opened up, you know, kind of other things you're thinking about? Gee, maybe now.
No, you know, I think I was I gave myself the last amount of attention. So William Joseph is the biggest focus of my life. And I have grown the agency through an incredible team and clients. We put in new offices in every city. We've survived the pandemic. We grew in the pandemic. William Joseph has just been where I put my energy. I don't put my energy on me. And, you know, I put it on fostering relationships with clients and really even with my staff and stuff, like trying to be there for everybody else and being at home. And, you know, there's lots to run a home, especially when you get two little dogs during COVID, like they keep you busy too. I just didn't really worry about myself. And, you know, the team that I have at WJ is doing such an amazing job and they're running with things. I don't need to sit and look over their shoulder. And the little dogs, they're now figured out how to go to the bathroom outside and they don't need me quite as much. So I had this pocket of time now where I went, Ryan, well, maybe you should look inward. And maybe rather than trying to fix William Joseph and fix this and fix that, you could maybe put some of that effort onto yourself and see what that would look like. Yeah. And that's what I did.
I think it's really a common struggle that entrepreneurs have. Entrepreneurs always focus on the business. I mean, that is their big, big passion. So actually taking a step back and thinking about you know, like yourself, that's a huge step. I don't think entrepreneurs feel that they have the luxury of being able to do that. So that's great.
I don't know if I even felt like I had the luxury, but I think like there was a spot where, you know, I just know too many people that have died too young. And that comment about diabetes stung pretty darn hard. And, you know, I think there was a lot of things where I thought, if I don't make this a priority, it will make itself a priority. And then I won't have the time to go back to be full throttle. The thing that was so amazing, though, about my journey is it happened so quick. I saw people in August. They're like, hi, Ryan. And then I saw them again in December, which was not uncommon with COVID for us not to see each other for a few months. And then they looked at me, they're like, what happened to you? Because it happened over 3 to 4 months. That was it. And 50 pounds was gone and new hair. And yeah.
So did people ever think that you were sick? And that's what?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's what somebody said to me. They're like, Ryan, they're going to think you were sick. I'm like, I wasn't. And it was funny because you know, you talk about like this balance between personal and professional, right? There's a correlation. And I shared a few of the snapshots on LinkedIn because I'm pretty present on LinkedIn sharing stories of inspiration, whether it's corporate or personal. And I shared a couple of fitness story or some of my weight loss. And it's funny, some people jumped me on them. They're like, this is no place to share that. You shouldn't be talking about your personal achievements. And I really caught me off guard because, again, there's always naysayers out there. I know you could say the nicest thing and somebody would have a problem with it on social media. But, you know, I always think if you can inspire somebody and if you can better yourself, whether it's professionally or personally, I think you should put that story forward because they are connected. If you feel like a sloth inside at home, it's pretty hard to feel like a superstar in the boardroom, right? So I see there being a correlation.
Absolutely. I totally agree. There has to be a balance. And so many professional people and entrepreneurs don't realize that. You have to balance all those parts of your life or you will crash and burn.
And you said yourself, Brian, that this was your brand. Your brand of what you were before plus 50 pounds was different than the brand that you were really, that was really WJ Communications. William Joseph is edgy and all things you described. And so, yeah, there is a strong correlation between you, the owner, and what you're trying to portray as a business.
You know what I think is neat though, too, is, and this is what my mom says, and you know, some of my friends and clients, they're like, Ryan, the heart that you had before has never changed. Like you were very passionate and you cared a lot before and you care a lot now. That's not changed. It's just, you're different. And, you know, my mom is so mindful of that. Like she, like what I said to her after, cause she didn't see me during the transformation. Then she sees me in person and she goes, what happened to the rest of my Ryan? You know, and it was the cutest little thing. But my mom says, Ryan, I always thought you looked great. No matter what size you're at, you just look really different now. And, you know, that's a true mom's answer, but it really has made me more mindful of talking to other people that have gone through this to make sure that you want to really encourage them on their journey, but not at all make them feel bad from where they were based on where they are now.
Great advice, Ryan. Do you have any other advice or insights that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, you know what I think? Everything in life comes at the right time. And as I said, I've tried, today we're talking a lot about the weight loss and kind of that revival of self. I think, you know, it was just the right time. There was a lot of factors that all lined up perfectly for me to make this my time. I wish I had a much more exciting story as to how I came to be or how I did it, other than some walks and some calorie cutting. And here I am. There is no secret magic to this. You know, geez, I know we marketers like to sell the sizzle around fitness and how that magic happens, but it's pretty simple. But I think we talked about this earlier today. The secret to success is consistency and discipline with a plan. You have to have a plan. You have to keep it consistent and you have to be disciplined to stick to it. That's the secret. It was the 90 days in fat camp that really did this. And it was rinse and repeat. It was so simple. So I don't think you need fancy equipment or fancy vitamins or fancy programs. At least for me, I didn't. But I think what it does is I was super confident before. So once this happened, I thought, like, are you more confident? I think so. But, you know, it's different. It's just been a little bit of an interesting journey.
For me, I didn't consider you older then. Than you do than now. That wasn't something that came to my mind, the age piece. But again, that's, I guess everybody looks at it differently, but that never struck me.
I like very complacent in my life. And I don't think I put in clothes more to hide me than to really like share, because when you're heavier, I was wearing black and suit coats and like, I was trying to hide my body and let my personality shine. And when this happened and all of a sudden I started to wear really cool clothes and stuff. And then all of a sudden I got all this attention. I was like, well, I haven't had this attention since I was 21 years old. Like what's going on now? And that's where I think it's wound my years back because I haven't had that attention for so long. So it's different. It's something that I equate to you.
It is really interesting because in effect, you lost yourself in your body. Like you were still in there, but your body was working against you, right?
It was, because it wasn't it. But you know what else, you guys? I never knew I was that big. Like, that's the weirdest thing. Like, I look back now and see those photos and I'm like, oh my God, how did I let this happen? But in August, I didn't think I was big. I didn't think I could walk. And I thought my doctor was being a little crazy with diabetes talk and stuff like that. But I thought, yeah, I had a few pounds to lose. If you told me I would have had 60 pounds to lose, I'd have been like, what do you want? Just skin and bones? Like, I thought maybe 20 pounds. But you know what I mean? Like, because I could never even conceive it, you know? And I think that's like, I guess a lesson for people is, we only know what we think we know. We set our own limits, right, as to what we think. But once you blow past that, and then you blow past that, and then you blow past that, you're like, I would have never known that was possible. This is why this worked. Because if I said I was going to lose 20 pounds, I would have stopped at 20 pounds.
Right.
I said I was going to go on fat camp for 90 days and see where I landed. See, that's the thing, is if I would have mentally set the 20 pounds goal as that's where I was going to stop, I would have stopped there. And that would have been this project and nothing would have happened past it, because I didn't think I could go past that. That was a mental barrier I set in.
Interesting. You set a time target, not a weight target. Interesting. Yep.
Right?
I think it's more manageable that way mentally. If you're saying 90 days in fat camp, then you know at the end of that, I'm going to eat sugar, right?
I've heard of the sugar thing. I still haven't seen it. But no,
sugar's not good for you. Stay away from sugar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Ryan, this has been remarkable. Thank you very much. What a great story. It is truly, it's very inspirational.
It is.
It's funny because to me now, it just seems like this doesn't even seem like a big thing. Like if I heard somebody's story doing this, I'd be like, how did they do that? That's incredible. Yeah. But you know, for me, it was just so simple. I'm like, just get off social media, go for a walk, eat less.
If you've learned just one thing about change while listening to this podcast, please subscribe on Apple or Spotify and share with a friend. This episode recorded via Zoom audio. Producers Peggy Koenig and Catherine Greiba. Executive producer Koenig Leadership Advisory. Theme music La Pompée, written by Chris Harrington, music publisher Invato Market. For information on this podcast, please visit www.getyourgoat.ca.